Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I vowed I would never have road rage again after barely driving all spring and not putting gas in my car for 7 weeks. And I have less road rage. My blood doesn't boil quite as much, but I can't say I've stuck to that. It feels good to have road rage again, though. And the traffic has definitely picked up. I don't know if it's the case where you live and where you drive, but I've noticed that since Labor Day, it's probably because there are some kids in school, there are some young people in college, more people have gone back to the office and are commuting clearly because all of a sudden the traffic is like it's fruitful and multiplied. And so I've had a little road rage, but I managed to contain it. And then it feels good. It feels more normal, quote unquote. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. I can't believe it's our fourth show of the work week already. And this time tomorrow, we'll be talking about the start of week three in the NFL. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. When you want the ability to adjust your loan options in real time, Rocket can. Our question that's out there now on Twitter and Facebook: if we take Patrick Mahomes out of the equation, okay, so he's the obvi. If we say that Patrick Mahomes is playing baseball from now on, what other young quarterback, 25 and under, okay, so we'll take the 25-year-olds, Deshaun Watson just turned 25 a couple of weeks ago. What other young stud quarterback would you take right now? The skills, the mentality, whatever it is. You believe he is the solution for your franchise. So it could be anything from Joe Burrow to Kyler Murray to Gardner Minshew to Daniel Jones to Lamar Jackson to Josh Allen. I could go on and on, see how many there are. Maybe you're a Dwayne Haskins guy. So you can find us on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on my Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then also on our Facebook page. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. When you want the ability to adjust your loan options in real time, Rocket can. Right now, pleased to welcome longtime NFL quarterback Gus Frerotte, who is now the host of a podcast that drops on Mondays. It's called Huddle Up with Gus, and it can be found on radio.com, which is our home. On the app, we use radio.com to stream our show. You can also check out his website, HuddleUpWithGus.com. Gus, it's kind of crazy to think about football in 2020, right? Just like everything else, it's a little bit different. But the league has worked so tirelessly to make sure the season takes place. You spent over a decade playing in the NFL. Could you imagine being part of the league right now with no fans, the testing, the protocols, and everything else that's involved with it?
You know, I try to picture myself doing that. You know, the way I look at it is that, you know, I would tell people this, like, you know, you're not the only one doing it. Everybody has to do it. So it seems like it's okay. Like if I was the one that was sick and I was the only one that had to quarantine, you would feel kind of weird about it. But since everybody has to do it, you're just like, okay, this is kind of normal. We can do this. We know this might not go on forever, but it may go on forever. And I think that through all this, the NFL has done a great job. The product they put out in the field for the first couple of weeks has been great. I think the thing that's going to hurt a lot of people, there's going to be a lot of injuries just because their bodies weren't ready the same way that you're used to in off-season workouts and training camps.
So do you think that the lack of preseason, no actual reps at game speed is a direct contributor to maybe some of the injuries that we saw in week two?
Yeah, I thought we would see a lot worse football, but I think that a lot of people just came in and you know, they did a lot in 4 weeks. You know, guys at that level can really get prepared to play at a high level because they have tremendous talent. And when you see the guys that are making mistakes, they're usually rookies or younger people. But I don't think that you can prepare yourself the same way for getting, you know, your body in shape to be ready to take the beating, the pounding. I mean, we've seen guys go down with Achilles injuries that are just running down the field and making a cut. Mm. And those are kind of things that, you know, they kind of happen every year. But I think this year it seems a little more noticeable.
You played in a lot of different places, Gus. Can you think of one place or maybe a particular season when the stands weren't empty, per se, but they weren't full either? And so maybe it was a sort of simulation of what we're seeing in 2020?
Oh, yeah, I played 1 year in Cincinnati. it wasn't one of the best years, so the stands were quite empty quite a few games. I kind of know what that's like. And, you know, when we played in Detroit, we had a good year that year in 99, and we had really had a good team. But, you know, when we lose a game, those stands would empty out, you know, early on in a game, you'd hear the boos, and people would leave, and it kind of gets eerie. So I can't imagine playing in a big stadium that can hold 80,000 people and you can hear the other sideline talking.
Yeah, I can't imagine that either. And it's apparently, even with the pumped-in crowd noise, you really can pretty much hear everything, according to a lot of the players who've talked about it so far. Gus Frerotte is a longtime NFL QB, now has a podcast on radio.com. It's called Huddle Up with Gus, and it drops every Monday. It's after hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Just out of curiosity, is there one franchise that you associate with more than another? When someone asks you, who did you play for? What's your first answer?
Well, for me, I kind of go back and forth. I go between, we won't say, but the Washington football team, because they did draft me. Mm. And then I ended up with the Minnesota Vikings. And so those two teams are kind of like, I have a lot of connection with, just because they were the first and the last and a lot of memories there. My kids were born in Washington, so really have a lot of memories there. And then, you know, being 38 and still able to play in the league, which is amazing for me, and I was very lucky to have that happen. And so those two teams I kind of associate myself with the most.
So then what would it take, could you imagine, for, say, a Tom Brady, a Drew Brees, to play at the level that they do, and to do it even 5 years after the point at which you were still playing in the league?
It's a lot of self-sacrifice, a lot of conditioning, a lot of work in the off season to keep your body at the highest level possible. You cannot go, you know, a couple months and say, okay, I'm just going to take a break and not do anything. And, you know, those guys just are on it constantly. They keep their bodies in top condition. And that's what you have to do, because, you know, their minds are still sharp. But once your body starts breaking down, you can't make the throws. You can't whip that ball, you know, 20 yards downfield like you used to. Then there's always somebody that's coming up to take your spot.
And yet they've managed to hold off all challengers for sure.
They have.
And yet you look around, Gus, and there's this influx of young quarterbacks. So let's say 25 and younger, because Patrick Mahomes just turned 25. There's MVPs. There are young guys who can take off and can juke defenders out of their shorts. I mean, we really do have probably 15 of them now who you think, if they stay healthy, they're going to have really bright careers. And so when you look at the position in the league, how would you say it's changed over the past, I don't know, 5-10 years?
Well, I think that just the athleticism of the position. I think back in the day, you had a lot of pocket passers. You had some guys that could run around, obviously. A little closer was a Michael Vick. Yeah, Randall Cunningham, Steve Young. You know, and there were some other quarterbacks that could run. You know, John Elway was always known as a runner, but he wasn't like juking people out. He wasn't doing a Lamar Jackson or Patrick Mahomes. Most of us were pocket passers. You'd stand in the pocket, you were a statue, and you're just, you know, you're just moving in that little box area between the tackles. And you know, it's just kind of how the position was built. We look at Dan Marino as one of the greatest quarterbacks ever, and I don't know how many rush yards he's ever had in his career. So the game has changed tremendously, but they also make it a lot of fun to watch.
If you're trying to start a team, and let's say Mahomes is not available, what quarterback out there would you take, Gus, that you feel like's the right guy you could build around and be successful with?
Are you talking young quarterback?
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to tell you what. I built my team around this year in my fantasy team is Lamar Jackson. I think that, he's getting better and better with reading the defenses, getting rid of the ball. He shows that he can make the throws week in and week out. And when you watch him run, it's electric. You know, he can make guys miss. He can escape danger. And sometimes I watch it, I'm just in awe, and I'm like, man, that one year I took 64 sacks. Like, if I could just move half that way, maybe it would have went down to 30, and I would feel a heck of a lot better right now. So, Lamar, I think he's a guy, and obviously there's some other quarterbacks that are out there that are tremendous. Joe Burrow's going to be really good. He's athletic. You see him run the ball. He's just got to figure out how to take care of his body compared to, getting the first down or throwing it away and all those types of things.
When you look at the rule changes, even since the point at which you retired in 2008, do you feel like they offer a lot more protection for guys to take off, to run, and to maybe be creative and not have to stay in the pocket and be safe?
Yeah, but I don't know if those kind of rules have changed that much. Obviously, sliding and, protecting the quarterback is a priority because you lose your franchise player in the quarterback and your team's not going to be any good. So all the owners want that to be a priority. But we've changed rules for every position where, offensive linemen can't cut block a defensive end anymore, can't block it from behind. Back in the day, that was all legal. There was all kind of things that were legal that they've changed over the years to try and make the game safer. But every week we watch, we see big hits. We see guys going down. We see quarterbacks laying on their back. And, the game has gotten safer, but it's still a very, very physical and tough sport. And, you can still get major injuries just like you did back in the day. It's just back in the day they drank beer and smoked cigarettes to get through it.
Gus Frerotte with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. He's got Huddle Up with Gus on radio.com. Some players complain about those rule changes watering down the game, making it softer. When you compare it to when you played, do you believe it's still as good a product?
Oh, yeah. I think they made the rule changes, a lot of them, as far as defensive holding, defensive pass interference. They want to what do the fans want? It's a game. It's entertainment. We think of it as the sport that we played from the time we were growing up. But if you look at it, it's about putting points on the board, scoring touchdowns, big plays. And, the longer an offense that is playing well can have the ball, the more chance that it's going to happen. Rule changes have happened. We've seen things like pass interference where, it happens to New Orleans and they completely miss it. And the NFL goes the other way, and they're going to really, take care of that. And then the next year, it kind of like falls off again. So it ebbs and flows, I think, with all the rule changes. But I think the game is still the game, the nuts and bolts of it, and it's a lot of fun to watch.
Are you ever amazed at the popularity of the league that you played in? Because it feels like no matter what, people flock to the NFL.
Yeah, and even with everything that's going on and everything that Colin Kaepernick started with kneeling and protesting, and you may not or you may agree with it, but, good or bad, the NFL is such a machine and such a product that, they've finally kind of taken the light in saying, we got to back our the people that are playing our games that we respect and all that. And no matter what happens, the NFL is going to roll through. They're going to pick a side. They're going to do what they want to do. They're just such a machine and they put such a good product out there, I'm a huge Pittsburgh Penguins fan. But if the Penguins aren't in the playoffs, it's hard for me to watch hockey unless I know somebody out there. But in the NFL, I can watch a game, any day, any team playing, And I get a lot of enjoyment out of that compared to other sports.
Well, I feel like that's a way that a lot of fans feel, too. A fan in Florida cares about what's happening in Seattle and vice versa. You don't necessarily have to be a fan. But you mentioned fantasy. How much do you think fantasy has to do with the fact that people are so engaged?
Well, I mean, fantasy and the fact that all these gambling sites have come out now, like FanDuel and DraftKings and all these people, it's changed the game. You know, it's really, for me, when I play fantasy and I get to pick a team and a defense and everything, I follow those guys and I want to do well because we have a family one and it's a lot of fun to do that. And I'm trying to beat my kids, right? And so it keeps me involved in the game, even though all my friends that I played with were all older and there's not, I don't know if I have three or four friends playing anymore. So, but it keeps me involved in the game, lets me know those people. And actually it lets me understand their stories. Like my guys, I want to know where they're from, what they're doing, you know, and it's kind of interesting. It's really kept me involved in the game by understanding the players and who they are and what teams they're playing for.
Longtime NFL QB Gus Frerotte played for 7 different teams, one of them twice. Brownie points for you fans if you can name them all, in order even. All right, Gus is going to stick around with us for a little bit. Want to talk to him about his podcast called Huddle Up with Gus. Man, I've seen the guest list, and he has got some great names, some very high-profile, talented people inside the world of sports and out, actually. So we appreciate a couple more minutes with Gus Frerotte after this break.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Based on the way he responded after the first quarter, you know, taking what they gave, making plays when he had to, really showed his resilience and just the fact that he's starting to feel more and more comfortable as our starting quarterback. I was very proud of him.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Ron Rivera, new head coach of the Washington football team, attempting to teach Dwayne Haskins his system now. So for Dwayne Haskins, one of the young quarterbacks in the NFL, this is his second head coach and a second system as he tries to figure out the league. And we try to figure out whether or not he's got what it takes to be a long-term starter. Is he the young quarterback that you would take right now to build your franchise around? You can find us on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. Lots of you already weighing in, and I love the variety of answers. Our guest, Gus Frerotte, played over a decade in the NFL, and he says Lamar Jackson, based on his fantasy football team. When you think about the number of different coaches you played for, Gus, there are a lot of systems and different voices. And we've got a bunch of coach movement in the NFL every year. We just heard Ron Rivera about Dwayne Haskins. Mike McCarthy is in Dallas. Just new guys all the time that have to establish their own system. So as a player, adjusting to a new coach, how difficult is that, especially when you've been in that franchise for a while?
Yeah, you know, I was talking about this earlier that, you know, it's like learning a new language when you go in. Now, if the coach has come from the same coaching tree, usually the kind of the verbiage is the same. But if he's from a different coaching tree and they ran a completely different offense, the language is all new to you. Sometimes pass protection are words. Sometimes they're numbers and vice versa. And so there's things that you have to learn, and sometimes it can happen quickly, and sometimes it really takes you a while to understand what each word means. Because in one system, an in route is a 4, in another system, it's a dig. And there's all kind of different verbiage for different passing trees and all this stuff. So it takes some time if you're going from one coach to another that is completely different. But I think the older you get, the more you understand it, the easier it becomes. And, you know, it's really interesting to get along with a new coach. And I think the most important thing for a new coach to do with their quarterbacks is just to support them. People were talking about Anthony Lynn and you know, why did he say throw Justin Herbert under the bus? And I said, I don't think he did. I think what he was doing was supporting Tyrod Taylor,
right,
saying, look, you earned this. This is your team, and we're going to support you. So when you come back, this team will be completely 100% behind you. And I think that's what he was doing. And that means a lot to a quarterback going out and playing on Sunday.
But as you were talking about the change, Baker Mayfield popped into my brain because he's now on to his fourth head coach, and he's not even two games into his third season in the league. That's a lot to ask of the leader of a team, any position really, but especially a quarterback.
Yeah, that's got to be tough on Baker. I mean, just year after year, you're switching coaches. And you know, I think the most important thing is that they stay the path. They stay the path with a coach, good and bad. You know, the Steelers are known for that. I mean, if you look back through the decade, they've had a few coaches, you know, and you probably can count them all on one hand. And that continuity for the team, for the new players coming in, the old players there, the relationships that are built. When a new coach comes in, what's he do? He brings in a whole new staff. He can bring in a new strength coach. He can bring in a new, you name it, and he has the opportunity to change all that. And so it's not only just an offensive coordinator, but it's completely, you know, it's probably 50, 60 people he brings in with him when it's a new coach coming in. So hopefully the Browns will stay the course with Kevin Stefanski. And I think he's going to do a great job. He's super intelligent. He's a great guy. I think he gets along with the players really well. And hopefully he and Baker can go on and do great things.
Talking is now your profession, and talking about football, but talking about other things as I kind of check out the podcast, Huddle Up with Gus. What do people hear if they tune in?
Well, I'll tell you the real reason why I started it. My buddy Dave and I, you know, we're big sports fans, not only just because I played, but just I'm a big Pittsburgh fan, you know, Pirates, Penguins, Steelers back in the day. And listening to all the talk shows, you know, I get it. You have to do a ton of hypotheticals. You have to keep the show moving. There's a new hour every, you know, new group every hour. So there's just a lot of monotony, and it's just like, man, I didn't want to listen to it. And I said, you know, you could do a sports talk show, but you can have stories about people. And so I was saying to Dave, what can we do? And he said, why don't we just ask them how sports shaped their life? And that's kind of where we really started. So Dave Hager and I started our podcast about interviewing all the people that I've met through my time. My first interview was with Roberto Clemente Jr.
Wow.
At the Clemente Museum here in Pittsburgh. And I said, Roberto, tell me about how sports shaped your life. And we all know his dad's story and how powerful that was for him. And sports was embedded in him. He tried to play, and then we find out through interviewing that, you know, he's had PTSD this whole time since his dad passed. Mm. And he didn't realize it. And, you know, I'm like, dude, I don't want to make you cry, but you know, we were at that point. It was powerful stuff, and so then on, it's just people that I've met throughout my life and been lucky enough to get to know, and just hearing their stories about, you know, when you were growing up, did you go out into a field and did 20 kids come and play with you, and did you play wiffle ball, football, all those types of things? And everybody has a story to tell. I've interviewed doctors, CEOs, you know, heads of companies, and obviously professional athletes. And I've interviewed writers and broadcasters, you know, Jim Brown, which is James Brown, which is a friend of mine out of DC that does Fox, and he's done CBS and all of them. He just has amazing stories that I didn't even know. And it's just a lot of fun to find out that, hey, look, we all have these amazing transitions in our life, and you're not alone. You might be the only one that's ever done what you're doing, but I'm sure there's somebody that's done it before. And if you just keep pushing forward and you keep working hard, great things can happen for you.
You can find Huddle Up with Gus, that's Gus Frerotte, on radio.com, as well as on the website, huddleupwithgus.com. He's a longtime NFL quarterback and a dog lover. As I look at your Twitter, how many dogs do you have in your family?
Well, we did have a lot through COVID, and, you know, the sad thing, through COVID, we lost two dogs.
Oh. So,
yeah, we lost our bulldog, Coco. She was with us for 7 years, and she had a really bad episode, and we lost her within, like, 45 minutes, which was, oh, it was crazy sad, and we had her forever. She was our little girl. And then Rupert, we had since he was a baby. We had his mom a few years ago, and she had puppies, and he was a French Mastiff. And Rupert was like my wife's dog. Like, they did everything together. And he was 145 pounds.
Whoa.
He was massive. And, like, like she went to bed, he went to bed. Like they did everything together. And in June, we found out he had bone cancer, and he was just turning 6 years old, and that was a really hard loss. And then so after losing him, all we had left were my daughter's two dogs, and she's been in and out of vet school. And so through COVID, her dogs were home with us, Poe and Lucy. And she went back to vet school, took Poe with her, and left us crazy Lucy. So, and we just actually adopted a new pit bull.
There you go.
Yeah, we went to Humane Society, and they were wonderful. We found him, and he has just been wonderful. But, you know, the crazy thing is, we didn't know it. He had Lyme disease, and he was down and out for 5 days. We didn't know if he was going to make it through. So I told my wife, I said, we love animals. We've had them our whole life. We've been married for almost 26 years. And if this one goes, I don't know if I can do anymore.
Yeah, they are like family, and it's so hard to lose them. I actually lost a cat. I know it's a cat, but it was with me 18 years this spring, and you realize they bring such joy. So Gus Verratt, again, longtime NFL QB on huddleupwithgus.com. It's great to have you on the show. Thanks so much for a couple of minutes.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me on, Amy.
Pets. Anytime I can talk about pets with a guest or with a caller or with someone on social media, it's, I think, a common ground that brings many of us together across our differences. And you should see his Twitter. Gus, this photo with his kids and we're four dogs, and of all shapes and sizes, they're beautiful. I didn't do this on last night's show, but I need to because I told you that I would. And I'll tell you about the war I have going on with Penny in my house. It's a war of wills, and only one of us will survive. Oh my gosh, this crazy dog.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Shotgun snap to Murray. Steps up and takes off. Far side of the 20. Got room at the 10. Cuts right to the 5. Jukes the defender and scores. Touchdown, Kyler Murray. A 22-yard run. His second rushing touchdown of the game.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Cliff Kingsbury actually says Kyler Murray can play better, and he expects even more from his second-year QB. As the Cardinals start out 2-0, and here we are staring at week number 3. It's going to come faster and more furious every day that goes by. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Hope you enjoyed that conversation with Gus Verratt. Thought that the longer we talked, the more long-winded he was, which is great, especially since he has a podcast. But also really appreciated his insight about changing coaches, because he did it so many times, playing for 7 different franchises and in some cases only sticking for a year. So I didn't remember his one season in Detroit or the 1 year that he played in Miami. I remember him as a guy who was with Washington and who spent some time in Denver and also with Minnesota. And so that insight was really interesting. And then I posed to him the question that I'm posing to you now. Taking Patrick Mahomes out of the equation, because he's the obvious, he's too easy, and he deserves everything he's getting. But what other quarterback who's in his rookie contract or who's 25 years of age or younger? So we're looking at the young stud QBs, whether they're rookies like Joe Burrow, and we'll soon see Tua. I'm excited to see Tua. It's not a knock on Ryan Fitzpatrick, but the Dolphins drafted Tua so he could play. We just don't know when. So whether it's Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, maybe it's Tua. Maybe it's a guy who's got a few more years under his belt, like a Josh Allen, a Deshaun Watson, Jared Goff. Is still just 25, though. I looked it up. I think his birthday is next month. But right now he's 25. Maybe it's Lamar, who's already an MVP. Or a Kyler Murray, as we just heard one of his touchdowns, a 22-yard rush in which he did take off and dazzle. And in a flash, he can change a game. That was against Washington, Dave Pasch on the Cardinals radio network. I love the variety of answers we're getting. And so you can find us on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on my Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page. And our toll-free line is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. It's sponsored by Geico. And right now, Geico offers an extra 15% credit on your car, motorcycle, and RV policies. And that's on top of what Geico can already save you. Visit geico.com to learn more. We'll see one of those young quarterbacks on the field come Thursday night to kick off week number three. The Jaguars are hosting the Dolphins, and Gardner Minshew and the Jaguars have a really quick turnaround after just playing on Sunday. So it's part of the deal when you're in the NFL. Every team takes its turn with a short work week.
First thing, you know, is just getting your body back right. You know, it's kind of a quick order. And then it's just getting that new install in. It's a lot of plays that we're kind of running through, but it's all walkthroughs this week, so it's a lot of mental reps and just trying to make sure your focus is there.
Gardner Minshew has got the moxie. He's got the personality. He brings a lot of intensity, a lot of excitement, ton of energy. Of course, there's been a turnover problem. Fumbles, more than anything, and some of them just inexplicable. But he's still very early in his second year, and you would expect he'd learn how to take care of the football. I did see a few of you saying you would base your franchise around Gardner Minshew. So what young quarterback would you take right now if you could build your NFL franchise around one of them and you feel like he's got not just the tools and the intelligence, the football IQ, but also has the staying power. His game has the staying power. And so again, on Twitter or Facebook, and then 855-212-4227. We'll do a lot more QB news coming up next hour because there is plenty of news around the NFL. So far, I haven't seen any votes for Carson Wentz. Do you feel like right now people look at him as damaged goods, Producer Dave? Because you remember when he came into the league, it was his moxie and his aggressiveness and his ability to see the field and to make the right choices that made him an MVP candidate. Remember when the Eagles were they the top seed, I think, that year? And he got hurt starting in December. And then, of course, Nick Foles stepped in and the rest is history as they went on to win the Super Bowl. But that year, Carson Wentz was the story in the NFL.
Oh, 100%. And you had Goff and Wentz come out of that draft. And
that's
first,
right.
You don't think they're going to be, you know, it's not a great quarterback draft. And then they both show you they can play. Then they both now are seemingly overpaid by, you know, in everyone's opinion. And now Wentz.
It's not your money.
No, it's not. No. I'm happy for it. I'm happy for both of them. And then Wentz gets injured multiple times. And now look at the offensive line. He's trying to play behind. Injuries are a concern. And can he stay upright long enough to stay healthy for a long career? I don't know.
Doug Peterson, who was also an NFL QB and is now the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, had a bit of a testy exchange with a reporter who was asking about Carson Wentz. And to be fair, Doug Peterson has been fielding these questions now for days.
Some of the throws that he's missing are sort of like layups. What could be the reason for some of those easier misses that he's missing?
Have you played quarterback in the National Football League?
I have not, Doug.
Okay. They're not layups. There ain't a throw out here that's a layup. And so, you know, some of it is just timing with young guys. Some of it is just, you know, Carson just being, you know, not accurate at that particular time. It could be that there's a defensive guy that flashed a hand where he's, you know, got to change his arm angle at the split second. There's all kinds of reasons for accuracy, and these are things that we continue to work on and will continue to work on, you know, the entire season.
I appreciate Doug standing up for his quarterback. Regardless of what you think of Carson Wentz or any quarterback in the NFL, to act like what they're doing isn't complicated is naive. I mean, there are only 32 starting quarterbacks in the NFL. And then, of course, there are a handful of guys who make their living as backups. But come on. There's only so many people on the entire planet who can do what these guys do. So let's not minimize it. And as the reporter says, call them layups. I would like to see that reporter out there just one time. One time standing in front of a pass rush of giant men coming at him, especially when you consider the Eagles' offensive line, as producer Dave pointed out. So good for Doug Peterson. And quarterbacks definitely get skittish. I can imagine that there's a little bit of that skittishness with Carson after he gets sacked 8 times by the Washington football team in the season opener. It happens to every quarterback. We've seen it. So whether it's Carson Wentz, whether it's in that same division, Daniel Jones, Dwayne Haskins, 3 relatively young quarterbacks in that same division. Dak, I guess, would be the elder statesman, right? It's kind of interesting to think about that, but Dak Prescott's been in the league a few years. He's actually 27, and so he is the oldest of the 4 who are starting right now in that division. I'm still wanting to see Alex Smith. I know Dwayne Haskins might be the QB of the future, but it'd be such a great story to see the elder statesman Alex Smith on the field after everything he's gone through to get back to this point. But just as we look at the NFL by divisions, and I've done this some, and I think it's fascinating. When you look at all the teams, all the franchises, and specifically grouped by division, where young quarterbacks have taken up residence and barring injuries are not likely to give up that real estate, it's pretty amazing. Before Cam Newton started or got the starting job with the New England Patriots, we were kind of looking at the AFC East as an example of this, because it could have been Jarrett Stidham, who is in his second year with the New England Patriots. At some point, Tua will take over for the Miami Dolphins. I hope it's this year, but if it's not, you got to believe that Brian Flores and the Dolphins staff has his best interests at heart. But then also you think about Sam Darnold, who he was 20 when he started playing in the NFL. I mean, Lamar Jackson was a teenager when he started his first playoff game. And so the AFC East is a great example. The AFC North is a great example of what I'm talking about. An influx of young stud quarterbacks. Lamar Jackson, Baker Mayfield, Joe Burrow. And so the odd man out, well, he's not really out, he's in now. But the you know, remember that old game? Was it Sesame Street? Which one of these is not like the other? I used to love Sesame Street. So Pittsburgh Steelers have the old dude in Ben Roethlisberger, but he is the one that doesn't look like all the others. We mentioned Jacksonville and Gardner Minshew, and of course in the AFC South, you also have Deshaun Watson, who's just turned 25. The Colts and Titans have older guys, but with the Indianapolis Colts, obviously at some point they're going to have to find a long-term solution because that's not Phillip Rivers. In the AFC West, Drew Locke, Patrick Mahomes, who has decided to play baseball. If you missed the question, that might create some anxiety. We're saying Patrick Mahomes has left the NFL. He's no longer available. So any other young stud quarterback you can draft to build your, or you can sign to build your franchise around. Derek Carr's older. Obviously, Tyrod Taylor's been in the league a long time, but Justin Herbert is waiting in the wings. And Anthony Lynn actually gives us the full rundown on the surprise for Herbert starting last week when Tyrod Taylor suffered the punctured lung.
Justin didn't know he was going to play until right before kickoff. He didn't get a lot of the reps. He didn't get half the reps last week in practice. So that playbook really shrunk, and we put him in some tough situations where he hadn't practiced certain things. And so, like I said earlier, I'm just looking forward to seeing him with the week of practice underneath his belt and taking every single rep as a starter.
I am too. Now, I also applaud Anthony Lynn, and Gus Frat mentioned this when he joined us earlier this hour. I applaud Anthony Lynn for standing by his QB. Tyrod won this job for a reason. This wasn't just an eeny, meeny, miny, mo. This wasn't a, you know what, I'll just flip a coin. No, Tyrod beat Justin Herbert in a competition. However true that competition was. I mean, Anthony Lynn seemed pretty committed to Tyrod Taylor even before they got to training camp. Remember, our Chargers insider, Gilbert Manzano, told us it was the story that never really turned into a story. It was a non-story. Either way, there's reasons why Tyrod Taylor's the starter. But Justin Herbert is the man waiting in the wings. Looking at the NFC East, we just talked about Haskins, Jones, Wentz, Dak being the old dude. Anybody want to vote for Mitchell Trubisky? I said that, and the grin that I just got from producer Dave on the other side of the double pane glass.
It's just a funny question.
Okay, but he's the only young dude, quote unquote, in the NFC North. The rest is, whew, that's a gauntlet. Aaron Rodgers, Jordan Love is there. But Aaron Rodgers, Matt Stafford, Kirk Cousins, who I'm not sure could have had a worse start to the season. Obviously, in the NFC South, you've got all established QBs. Even Teddy Bridgewater has been around the league for years. And then in the NFC West, we're looking at Jared Goff, who's 25. Kyler Murray, who's in his second year. I don't know. I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo spent his almost 4 years with the New England Patriots, though he's early in his starting tenure. And then there's the MVP frontrunner, after 2 weeks, Russell Wilson, who has 9 touchdown passes and only 11 incomplete passes. It's so gaudy. What is that, Russell Wilson? What are you doing? But Russell's too old. He's kind of in that no man's land. I don't think you could call him a young QB. He's won a Super Bowl, for heaven's sakes. And he's in the league now almost a decade. But he's also not an old dude. He's like a Cam Newton. You think Cam's been around forever, but he's only 31. I mean, theoretically, if he plays really well this year with the Patriots, he could earn himself another really fat contract and be in the prime of his career. So there's a lot to choose from. Wondrous variety, these young stud QBs. Who would you grab? Who would you sign if you were starting your franchise right now?
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.